Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Visible by Numbers being broadcast on beautiful VBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. This is your host, Allison, and thank you for joining me this evening. It's a pleasure to have you here. I just want to take a moment and remind you that the April personal month forecasts are up on my website, visiblebynumbers.com, so be sure to check them out, and if you like, sign up for my monthly newsletter, which is a wonderful way to keep informed about my upcoming guests here on the show at BBS. And speaking of guests, my guest tonight, Dr. Kevin Emery, was on the show February 23rd, and he talked about ADD and ADHD, understanding the gift. So I do encourage you to go to the archives and listen to that show, especially if you have had a child diagnosed with ADD or know anyone who has. I also encourage you to read his book, Managing the Gift, Alternative Approaches for Attention Deficit Disorder. It's a wonderful book, and I know that you'll get a lot of great information from it. And I so enjoyed talking to Dr. Kevin that evening that I invited him back to the show. And tonight we're going to be talking about developing your own psychic abilities and also discussing pendulums. So I just want to take a moment to tell you a little bit about him. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery is a resident of Maine. He maintains a private practice focusing on alternative approaches for dealing with attention deficit disorder, spiritual coaching, counseling, and medical intuition. Working as a psychic intuitive for over 30 years, Kevin ran a successful healing center in Portsmouth, New Hampshire for many years. Today, he serves the New England Seacoast with his many talents and powerful healing arts. He's the author of several other books published through Lightlines Publishing, including Combing the Mirror, The Other Steps in Your Spiritual Path, The Lost Steps of Reiki, and Experiment Earth, Journey Back to the Beginning. And Dr. Kevin has also produced many DVDs of his workshop. As a matter of fact, I spent a couple hours watching those workshops today, so I got a lot of comments about him. And I certainly could go on and on about him, but I'm kind of anxious to get him on the show and get this show started. But I do encourage you to go to his website while you're listening to the show. Learn more about him. His website is www.weboflight.com. And there you go. Hi, Dr. Kevin. How are you?
I'm fabulous. As you know, and for any of the listeners who were listening to the last show, I was actually running 102 fever through the last show.
Wow.
As I was going through some release work of my own. And, so I'm glad to be back in full passion, power, and mental facilities.
Well, your energy is, I have to say, it's ramped up a little bit tonight, so I'm glad.
Yeah. And I would like to start my part of the show or whatever by asking you a question.
Sure.
Can I do that?
Have at it.
Miss Allison.
Yes, dear.
Starting in May, my weekly radio show goes to 5 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to know when you're going to come on and be a guest on my show.
Oh, I get to go to your house.
You want to come to my house and play?
Yeah, I want to come to your house. Sure. Sure. That sounds like fun. Sure.
Great. So I'll coordinate it. I'll have the producer of my show get in touch with you.
Uh-huh.
And there, you know, every show is different every day.
Sure.
So they all have a different theme.
Right.
So you get to tell me whether you want me to interview you as for your passion and how you inspire and motivate the world for people with purpose, people with passion, or whether you want to do through the spiritual lens where we discuss things going on in the world from a spiritual perspective and let people see how everything in the world can be seen through a spiritual lens.
Mm-hmm.
Or my newest show I'm launching is called What a Load of Crap with Dr. Kevin.
That one sounds fun.
Where we bring up something, we kick it around, and at the end we decide, was it a load of crap? Was it fertilizer with which to help you grow? Or was it a diamond in the rough?
Ah, I like that idea.
And you can do more than one of them. We can do a couple of different shows, but you think about those. The other two shows are pretty set. One's my weekly astrology forecast, and the other's with a standing co-host where we take listeners' emails.
Hey, I love it. Hey, just send me the details, and I'm on board. Sounds like great. I'll come to your house. I'll bake a cake or something.
You come to my house, you play? Well, if you're going to come to my house and you're going to bake a cake, you're going to have to tell me what my numbers mean and impress all my listening audience.
I'm dying to do your numbers, but I was being polite, not asking. Usually I nag my guests and I want to see their numbers because it just, it kind of takes all the nervousness out of interviewing someone when you know what their energy is. I mean, I suspect a lot of it. I mean, I've watched your videos. I've connected to some of it, but be happy to do that for you anytime.
Well, you have my full permission.
You email me the stuff.
Okay, well, you tell me what I need to email you, and I'll do that.
Just your date, your name on your birth certificate and your date of birth, and I'll work up your chart. I'll do my mojo on you.
Oh, baby. Then you can say, I got Dr. Kevin's number.
Yeah, then I'll have your number. That'll be fun. Sounds great. Okay. Well, listen, I have watched both your DVDs, the one on pendulums and the one on developing your psychic ability, and I have to say you made me burst out laughing. So I was so intently watching the one on developing your psychic ability, and you're talking about breathing, and then you said, okay, well, if you're breathing, you're psychic, okay? I was just cracking up laughing because it was a great way to start off the whole DVD. And it was a lot of fun. And your DVDs are really, I've been kicked around a lot. I've seen a lot, been to a lot of classes, and I have to say, you brought some perspective through your DVDs that even I hadn't considered or thought of, and I thought that they were really great.
Why, thank you. I take that considering somebody who, if I say has been around like you have, does that come out right?
Let's just say my path as a seeker has put me around a lot of psychics and mediums and in many workshops, and I've seen a lot, heard a lot, but I really enjoyed them, and I like the energy that you bring, and really, there's a reverence to your DVDs and what you're teaching, and I appreciate that in someone, and I like to see that in someone. I really enjoyed them. I do have some questions, if you don't mind. Can I jump on board?
That's what I'm here for.
Okay. Well, to our listening audience, we're going to talk a little bit with Dr. Kevin here about, some of these things. But, you may have your own questions about maybe you work with a pendulum from time to time. Maybe you're trying to develop your psychic ability. Maybe you've had experiences that have happened to you, and certainly in a little bit here, we're going to open up the lines. Hey, you can have at him. You can ask him all the questions you want. He's the man to ask, let me tell you. And we're going to open up those lines in a little while. But in the meantime, I'm going to kind of hone in on him and ask him a few questions, what I saw. Now, specifically on the pendulum, DVD. Pendulums are a divination tool, and certainly you can tell our listeners a little bit about that when you answer the question. But I guess my question was, you made a point of saying that you do not want, when you're using a pendulum and you're asking a question, you don't want to ask it a question that you're emotionally attached to. And I was kind of, and you actually suggested, which I thought, well, isn't that brilliant? That's brilliant. Writing your questions on a piece of paper where you don't know what's on the paper when you ask the pendulum, and therefore that takes the emotional attachment out of the outcome. So it bodes the question, as far as I'm concerned, that it kind of gives me, as I follow a little bit of logical thought there, is that through our power positive, setting the intention or actually willing, can we actually will that pendulum to answer that question in a fashion that we want it answered? Can we make that pendulum move to answer the question, maybe not necessarily coming from your spirit guides, or coming from above, but actually coming more from you? I mean, can we physically influence
that
pendulum?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you asked that question, because we can, and as you remember in the video, I was very clear about telling people, if you don't know and you have not clearly done a protection and intention statement and do not know who is affecting your pendulum, put it down right now and put it away until you know how to do it.
Right.
And we can influence that. And not only can we influence that, we can influence any kind of divination tool. You tell me the tool, and I'll tell you how we can influence it.
Okay.
We are, you know, we are cells in the body of God.
Mm-hmm.
We radiate divine energy. We don't always use it in a divine way.
Right.
Okay. Energy is neither positive nor negative. It
mm-hmm.
just is. And part of our journey is the flow and,
mm-hmm.
and the manipulation, positive
mm-hmm.
or negative. Manipulation is not all negative.
Mm-hmm.
We manipulate that energy and we flow through it. And I have absolutely seen people be able to, especially energetically powerful people, to get a pendulum to say anything it wanted it to.
Right.
And part of that also comes that you can actually influence a psychic you're getting a reading from.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, even in tools that you would think of would be beyond effect, you can, with enough power and energy and mental gymnastics,
mm-hmm.
you can twist astrology,
mm-hmm.
you can twist numerology,
mm-hmm.
you can twist tarot.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are open and vulnerable
mm-hmm.
when you have such an attachment that you, how many times have you sat with somebody, Allison,
mm-hmm.
who, and you have said to them, the answer is, according to the numbers,
mm-hmm.
this would be a negative consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And have them walk out going, oh, she told me I should do it.
Yeah, well, this seems to be a block sometimes, yeah.
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 And it tends to rest in between the left shoulder and the right shoulder on top of the neck.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reason why that fascinated me is, you know, being, you know, I guess you would say a seeker, you know, I've tried to explore just about every aspect of divination tools there is and study them and does this work and that sort of thing. So certainly I've, you know, done my fair share of working with a pendulum. And I tend to be, even as a child, I couldn't tell time. And I don't wear a watch. I just never have. And I couldn't tell time. I didn't understand clockwise and counterclockwise. And when I was studying about pendulums, it said clockwise was yes and counterclockwise was no. So the first thing I said to my pendulum is, listen, I don't get clockwise and counterclockwise. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute in my head. So you need to move in a different way for me to give me your yes and no answers. I need up and down for yes and left or right for no. And if you can do that, then we've got something here. And I was, the first time I touched a pendulum, I was really kind of amazed because I told it that, then immediately it started answering the questions in that manner. It was like, instead of going in circles when I first picked it up, it would, then it started doing it in the way I told it to, which kind of like, I kind of went, whoa. That was that, you know, that moment. And so that's why I thought, can we actually influence the outcome of the pendulum by what we want it to do? You know, because that was my very first experience with it, was telling it what I wanted it to do.
Well, and see, and what I would even today invite you to do, and you saw this, because we do, first of all, you know, somebody somewhere assigned a value that has no actual reason to be what it is. They
mm-hmm.
just assigned it a value.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes clockwise, it's yes. If it goes counterclockwise, it's no. Or if it goes up and down, it's yes. But sideways, no. But, you know, it falls into, you know, if you want to give your power to somebody else's arbitrary assessment of it, you can do that, and it may work or it may not, but it's more important when you're asking, are you asking your higher self, are you asking your spirit guides,
yeah.
You are whoever, I simply say, show me yes.
Sure.
Show me no. It may change from time to time, but for you, that would be perfect because you don't do counterclockwise and clockwise like this, every time you may find that they actually have fun with you. They go,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, we're going to do a little marimbe across, you know, from 3 to 9 on the clock, and that's going to be yes. And we're going to do a little cha-cha from the 4 to 2, and that's going to be a no. And
I've seen some really strange things with pendulums. One time, I was, I asked, you know, setting the intention. Of course, I, one of the things that you do stress in your video is to define who you are, what your intention is, to surround yourself with protection, and then go forth, find out how the pendulum is going to answer your questions, and then start asking your questions. Well, one time I was saying, well, is this my spirit? I kind of called upon information from spirit guides, and I said, you know, I want to see through movement, if you could, you know, a sign of that this this is truly you. And I said, so I want you to move this pendulum, you know, in an energetic way, to show me that this is you. And I'm telling you, Dr. Kevin, that thing swung so hard it about smacked me in the nose. I was sitting there kind of cracked. I'm like, okay. It was fun. And I've actually handed my, I actually was trying to give a friend of mine with a pendulum that I had. And I said, well, why don't you try this? And I gave him my pendulum. And he stood there and he tried as hard as he could to get it to move. And it wouldn't move for him, in that I would pick it up and it would move for me, but it wouldn't do it for him. And we couldn't figure out what was going on there either. So they're a little bit perplexing at times, I think.
Well, and they can be. But see, what happens is you had a this is my assessment, and you
sure,
know.
I'm all ears.
But my assessment is, here is your pendulum. It's used to your energy. You have an aware spiritual connection, and you're used to using it. And so all it is it's a receptor for spiritual energy. He took it, and all it was a hunk of crystal or a hunk of metal or something in the shape.
Right.
And he's expecting that thing that's on the end of the chain to do the work for him because he doesn't know any better.
Right.
And I suspect he didn't know how to get into a place and really, you know, connect with the spiritual energy that can influence it. And in some ways, it's a good thing he didn't, because if you have, not all energies that are out there that would play with your pendulum and give you the wrong answer are negative energy. Some of them are simply mischievous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree.
Yeah, they're playful, and you're not playing by the rules, and so you open it up for them to yank your chain, and then they sit there and laugh as you go, "Oh, my pendulum didn't work."
It was interesting. It really was interesting. But that was really a wonderful DVD on pendulums, and it answered a lot of questions. And I one thing that kind of was interesting is you were talking about the history of pendulums. And, you know, as far as I know, it's been a practice through the ages. Like, how many women have tied their wedding band on a string and held it over a pregnant woman to see if it's a boy or a girl? I mean, aren't we doing this anyhow, you know? So to me, you know, when you were talking about the history and how at times it has some negative connotations to, of course, what divination tool hasn't, you know, it was fascinating. I thought it was a wonderful video.
And thank you very much. And it was fun to make. And if you noticed, I made it in this beautiful, beautiful Unitarian Universalist Church in Pittsfield, Maine, with the stained glass windows and all of the glory.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to make a comment, though, on your how many women have tied a wedding ring out to see if over a pregnant woman to see if it was a boy or girl? How many of those women would have been better off if they'd taken their engagement ring, held it over their fiance, and said, "Should I really marry him or not?"
Well, there's a concept for you.
Honey, will you marry me? Let me see the ring. Lay down. I need to test you.
Yeah, there you go. That was great. Well, the DVD on, I know that you have a DVD as a whole, the psychic development course, but this one was more or less like an introductory one. And what I think that you were answering a lot of questions about what blocks a person's psychic abilities. And oftentimes in numerology, you know, one of the things that really resonated to me is you were talking about that you weren't a biblical scholar, but certainly the Bible has talked about gifts of spirit. And I've often said, you know, why would we think that if God, in the Bible, if there were such things as prophets and laying on hands and healing, if there was such a thing as talking in tongues, which would be channeling, why is it then do we feel that in 2000, you know, 8 and 9, that God has stopped talking to us? That he's, you know, where did we feel going along the way that if this was something that was very common in biblical times when they were writing about these experiences, why did they think that he stopped talking to us? So that resonated to me a great deal. But I think so many people, like numerology, talks about prophecy, dreams. It talks about psychics and mediums and clairvoyance and clairaudience and clairsentience and empaths. You know, numerology identifies those things through the numbers. Therefore, you know, we talk about this quite a bit when we get into numerology readings with people, and people are always talking about, I'm blocked. I don't know why. I used to do it when I was a child. I don't do it anymore. So I was wondering if you could take a moment and just, like, you know, share with everybody kind of a little bit of what you said about what creates these blocks with our psychic abilities.
Okay. Well, so the first thing I'd like to say is, because there were several different references you made, and as you may have got a slight hit from reading my my website, or for the fact that I'm getting ready to launch a show called What a Load of Crap, what I'd like to do is address why it went away. And one of the blocks, first of all, let me answer that question. One of the definite blocks is a religious taboo against psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And the use of psychic abilities as a way to punish somebody, to, you know, call somebody a witch, to burn them at the stake,
right,
to ostracize them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The question is, you know, what happened when Christianity came on board? Because in Judaism, you had prophets, and you know, and it said beware of false prophets. Well, in 2007, 2008, 2009, there's plenty of false prophets, and they're hanging around, and some are wearing turbans, and, you know, whatever.
Right. Sure.
But, you know, what happened was that in the religion that's going on, when we switched over from Judaism to Judeo-Christian, there was a big move that even though this man Jesus came and tried to make God more accessible than God has ever been, Allison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all I am, so are you, and was here to lead us and guide us, and, you know, and did not want altars and temples built, and, you know, and stood up against them. That the Judaic religion encourages every generation to question the Torah, to question the Talmud, to argue, to understand, to interpret, to go into personal relationship with God. And the rabbi guides you, but the rabbi isn't the gatekeeper God. And in Christianity, we created the priest as the gatekeepers to God.
Right. Exactly.
And we wouldn't even, you know, as time changed, you know, we wouldn't even put the Bible in a language people could read because they didn't want them to know what it said.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You'd have to go to the priest. And so what happened is, you know, if they liked, and, you know, and you're talking about somebody, of course, you know, one of my other videos out is on reincarnation. And, you know, and I've done tons of reincarnation work with all sorts of lifetimes of, you know, that have had, with people who have had run-ins, imagine that, with the Catholic Church or early Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But that block comes that it's a power thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are sold a line of goods that says that only the priest or only the minister can determine if God would think you worthy enough to actually speak through you in a form called psychic ability.
There you go.
If what you say doesn't agree with what the church wants,
mm-hmm,
okay, then you're out of luck.
Right. True. True. When I was a child, I can remember sitting in a Catholic church, and I remember, you know, I had to go to parochial school. That was where I was back then. And I remember sitting there, and I was thinking, well, why do I have to go to the priest to talk to God? Isn't he everywhere?
Yep.
Isn't he in me? Isn't he, you know, why do I have to, does this guy interpret what I say and put it in a language God understands? Why do I have to go to him? And even as a child, I was questioning these things. And so thankfully for me, you know, coming to that place of, you know, spiritual philosophy, and all of a sudden there's all the answers that I ever was looking for, because things that did not make sense to me, even as a child. So, what I was taught was contrary to what I felt inside. And I don't think a lot of people question. I think a lot of people just take it as being the truth.
Well, let's see, we teach people not to question. We
sure.
teach people to be apathetic, and we make them afraid to question.
Sure.
We've spent hundreds of years. We spent, you know, 2,000 years, you know, telling people that if they question, then, you know, look, look what just happened. Look what got, you know, in the largest, freest nation in the world, we allowed somebody to run our country that made us question our patriotism if we questioned his actions. When the very nature of our country was built on to question.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it's no different. I mean, we sat here and said, Heard, you're not patriotic if you question this.
Right.
If you don't do exactly what I do, you're un-American.
Not only that, but to be threatened. I mean, physically threatened to a certain extent.
Absolutely.
Some of the laws that were passed, yeah.
And you know what? It's not a surprise that a very fundamentalist, very, very conservative group of what I consider the fanatical Christians, I'm not saying all Christians are bad, but every group has got its group, even the New Agers do,
mm-hmm.
the spiritual people do. Mm-hmm. They were the one that backed the man, and he took a page out of their book.
Right.
If you question the word of the priest, it's eternity in hell. If you question the word that we tell you that the Bible got interpreted as, it's eternity in hell.
Right,
and
right.
What did our last president do? He might as well have taken a page out of the Spanish Inquisition. Right?
Yeah.
Because he was so busy being Christian, we couldn't question that either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to weboflight.com, one of the articles that's on the front page is something about why we were not founded as a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
We weren't founded as a Christian nation.
Right.
And so all of that's been twisted. So these blocks to psychic abilities, however.
Mm-hmm.
So religion can be a big block because we're scared with, we're made frightened of our psychic abilities because we don't understand them. There's not a lot of information out there about them. We don't know where to turn. And if the first level of you sit there and you are exposed to a fiery brimstone or a completely shut down religion that doesn't support it,
right.
Or
not to mention your friends, family, and, you know, everyone you work with, you know, it can go beyond that where, you know, developing your psychic ability or embracing a different way of thinking can actually create, you know, a perception about you, you know, just with, you know, people in general in your life. Listen, Dr. Kevin, I'm almost certain that I heard a beep, but I'm not positive. Somebody
may
have
called. I'm hearing a beep regularly. I'm afraid the phone's dying.
Yeah, I hear your phone beeping, and I'm insisting that you stay with me. So I'm ignoring it. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes. Hi, Allison. It's Terry.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Great. I'm just loving your conversation. Hi, Dr. Kevin.
Hi.
I'm a student of Allison's, and we've often talked about children in ADD and HDAD, and I'm just delighted to hear about your work. And furthermore, I really am enjoying and support what you guys are talking about in terms of psychic abilities. And I just wanted to make a comment that it's been my own experience that tuning in psychically is, you know, culturally, as you were talking about, has been really pushed down over the generations. But furthermore, I think we're raised culturally, religiously, not to step into our own individual power.
Absolutely, Carrie.
And we're not championed along those lines. And the excitement in the age of Aquarius we're going into or already into is that, you know, the portal's being open.
Well, one of the places
step into that
I was going to go, and Allison, I'm going to ask you this number, this name. What is your call-in number in case this phone dies and I have to call right back?
Oh, my goodness, Dr. Kevin. All right, hold on one second.
Just in case.
Just
want me to hang up?
No, don't hang up, Barry. No, you might end up co-hosting the show. Just kidding. Okay, Dr. Kevin, hold on one second. The number is 530-876-9146. And you can also call 530-876-3222.
Okay, just in case. I told them to leave this phone on the thing all day that I had an interview tonight, but I've been with clients all day, and I don't know if it didn't happen or what, because I was like, I'm going to be ready. But I'm hearing that beep, and I said, you know, just in case.
Okay, sure.
Carrie,
you know,
and one of the things that Allison was in the process of saying when we took your call is when we step out of the religious thing, or and sometimes one happens, or sometimes the other one happens. The next thing we run into is our tribe. and our tribe, which is our friends, our families, the people around us. And we have been conditioned to fear what we do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two reasons why we fear. I mean, we fear because we do not understand on one level from a very old, old, old place when we were very early on in our evolution running around and we didn't have a lot of concepts. We didn't know where thunder came from. We didn't know what lightning was. We didn't understand storms and weather patterns. We didn't have enough not to be afraid of everything as we were learning. But out of that fear, we learned to be risk takers. We learned to be adventurers. We settled the planet. We learned. There was a driving force. And then there is a society, social, tribal fear, and that's the fear that we all get stuck on, which is we're made afraid of death. We're made afraid of being thrown out. Of
abandonment.
What?
Abandonment.
Abandonment. Betrayal. All of those things, all of those emotional needs, and what we hear and all of the messages, and I'm going to tell you who the largest culprit in the last 50 years has been, or I'm going to ask you and see if you can tell me, but we'll get to that in a second. As this goes on, we have these buttons that are installed in us that says, if our tribe does not accept psychic abilities, if they are afraid of them, if we are associated or if they're associated with crazy Aunt Helen, if they're called crazy, if they're called insane, if they make you a loner, if they make you a cat woman or a bag man or whatever. And, you know, so it may be an eternity of damnation or it may just be ostracization.
Right.
You know, and then there is some real grounded fear part of it of here these little kids are. I mean, I was lucky. I told you the story last time on the year that my grandmother talked to me when I was four about my abilities. I was blessed. But these little kids have these psychic abilities, and most parents can't explain them. And I've taught classes. I've taught you and your psychic child, and I have parents that bring their kids in, and I teach the parents how to support them psychically, and I teach the kids what's going on with them. But if there's no knowledge out there, and you can see that you're frightening your mommy or you're frightening your daddy when you know who's calling on the phone or you have a prophetic dream or you know something that you couldn't, you couldn't or have no way of intellectually knowing, and you blurt it out, and there's a fear response or a negative response, well, of course, you're going to be afraid of it. You're three, you're four, you're 5 years old.
So do you think that with the high-level vibration of the, you know, young ones today, that for a lack of an understanding, that's why they're coming up with these labels and then subsequently these nice little pharmaceuticals to bring these little people right into line.
Well, and I don't know if you heard the show we did on ADD, because in my book...
I did and I missed it. I'm sorry.
There are archives for things like that, Carrie, so you don't have to apologize.
Okay.
and it gives me a chance to say this again. In my book, I said we shouldn't have called it ADD. We should have called it CIS, which is Cultural Inconvenience Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we medicate these children because they're culturally inconvenient, because we don't know how to deal with them. We have a broken educational system. We have a society that doesn't do well with change, and we end up putting people in power who are only interested in keeping their power and do not have the welfare of the whole at the heart of their decisions. And these kids come and they ask questions that nobody wants to ask. They push where people don't want to hear it. They tend to be more psychic. They tend to be more empathetic. They're there. But they're still children. And no matter how strongly they come in, if you beat them bad enough, if you medicate them enough, if you punish them enough, you will beat them down. And what's happening is, you know, like, you know, and I hate to use this analogy because it's going to have a negative connotation, but it describes it very clearly, you know, the ADD started coming in the mid-1800s, and we had some brilliant people, the architects of the 20th century, came out of it. But one of the things that happened is that as we created more cities and we created more, more social structure and law enforcement became more unified and public education became more unified and the government became more controlling, these kids were now treated like a virus. And what we know about viruses is every time we find an antibody to them, a really good virus will go through a process where it will change itself, and what used to take care of the virus doesn't take care of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids have been coming in for almost 160 years. We're talking generations of them. And every time we find a way to put them down, every time we find a way, a new way to punish them, to ostracize them, to medicate them, you know, now what we do is we have multiple diagnoses, so you have 4, 5, or 5, 6, 7 year old kids that are now, they're bipolar and they're ADD and they have attachment disorder and they have this and they have that. And I saw something today when I was at the gym working out this morning, and I didn't hear the sound bite because I don't watch TV. I don't own a TV. I don't have a TV in my house. I haven't had one for 8 years. But there was a TV in the gym, and I saw a little thing, and it talked about how the last month of, and they had this list that went on and on of all of the mass killings that have been going on across on our country.
Good Lord, yes.
Okay. Why? Why? Why are they trying to kill? Because we're trying to kill them.
Right.
We kill their spirit. We kill their heart. We kill their chance to feel like they can be happy or succeed. And what do? They kill us back, and then we go, oh, what went wrong?
As a good friend of mine said, what are the children dying to tell us? You know, with Columbine and the college incidences and all of that.
I know one thing they're telling us is they're telling us, stop making me feel bad about who I am and figure it out and help me. That's your job.
Right. That's right. But parents and adults who are so out of touch with their own authenticity, you know, I think they need to do the work first.
And how many generations now are we going? I mean, you know, we go back and, you know, I just recently wrote an article on this. Because I'm constantly putting out articles, not only on my website, but all over the place. And it's like, you know, we now have parents who don't know how to be parents because their parents didn't know how to be parents. And there's nobody to teach them anything along the way. And so they're stuck. They're stuck at 10 or 11 or 12 or 9. And so then they're trying to raise kids. And these kids that are coming in more resilient, like the virus that will not metamorphosize itself as a term, and it's slipping my head what they call
mutate.
It. Mutate, thank you. Mm-hmm. They mutate. And what was that? What was the name of that? The X-Men. Remember those kids were mutated, and they had superpowers. Wasn't it the X-Men comic books and movies or something?
You're not talking to X-Men fanatics as far as I'm concerned, but
yeah. Yeah. Very important spiritual message to the world, Allison.
Yeah, well, didn't get that one.
Yeah, well,
wasn't interested where I explored it. That's it. It's just my fault. Sorry. Carry on.
Yeah. But anyways, no. I mean, all I'm saying is that we go through this process. These kids are coming up, and they keep getting born, and they get born a little stronger, a little different, a little bit more aware, and they keep charging forward. And sooner or later, you know, the old order will give way to a new order.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to happen.
It's exciting.
Right. Well, I think that the one good thing, I think, is that what was considered, to me, it's always an amazement how much materials, public exposure, whereas the TV was probably the biggest censorship ever, as far as censoring or even changing our perception about mediums and psychics and all that stuff, because it just simply was the thing that you didn't mention, or if it was mentioned, there was a wink and a nod that this person is crazy, whereas now more mainstream information is out there. And also what I find is just fabulous is actually seeing a more spiritual thought actually coming through in very mundane programming, where you can actually see a glimmer of light in perhaps the what the actual program is projecting, or whether it might be the news, or whether it might be, you know, a program with about a medium or a psychic or something along those lines, which at least is throwing back out the message that this is becoming more and more accepted. And I think more and more people are rejecting what has been their traditional or mainstream religion because it doesn't hold the answers that they need. And numerically speaking, this energy has been coming in since the year 2000 to kind of shift the way in which we, you know, what we need in our lives. And hopefully, you know, as this continues to gain momentum, you know, that things will change and people will no longer be sheep being led to the slaughter, but rather think and decide for themselves and live their truth that resides within them, what's right for them, not what society says is right. And, you know, that can be our only, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the only hope for children, the future, and all of us. You know, I know that myself, since childhood, I don't know what held me together, but, you know, when you were doing that ADD program, I was laughing hard because it was describing me to a T. And I've always been an outside, I call it outside of the box thinker. I've always felt different from other people or not in touch with other people. I sometimes having to hide who I was from others, not being my authentic self because I was afraid of what other people would think if I actually showed that part of me. And I personally right now, I'm just very grateful to be able to do what I do and just, you know, be out there and help people to get in touch with themselves, you know, so that this judgment thing and this censorship thing doesn't affect them, that they can be more authentic, like Terry and you are saying. So that's just my little commentary.
Allison, you're fabulous. You've done so much for me, and I'm so grateful to you.
I love you, Terry.
Wonderful.
Thanks for calling, sweetie.
Kevin, thank you so much. It was such a delight speaking with you and sharing time.
Well, thank you for calling in, and please feel free to visit the website, my website, webofblight.com, and, you know, and send me an email and tell me what you liked.
Will do. Thanks, Dr. Kevin. Thanks, Allison.
Bye, Terry.
Bye.
I do want to take a moment here, Dr. Kevin, and give out the numbers in case there's somebody else in the listening audience that maybe they have a gifted child, a child with ADD, maybe they have their own experiences, maybe they would like to ask you a question about psychic development or pendulums. And we would love to hear from you. Your calls are welcome, and Dr. Kevin's on tap to answer your questions. So the toll-free numbers are calling USA 877-876-5227. You can call toll-free at Canada 888-815-9756, and you can call the station direct at 530-876-3222. And again, I just want to give out Dr. Kevin's website, which is www.weboflight.com. And there's a lot of wonderful information there, articles, the things that he's written, upcoming events. And also, certainly, you can order these DVDs that I had a pleasure watching today. I learned quite a few things from them. Just lovely person. I adore you, Dr. Kevin.
Oh, well, the feeling is mutual, honey. And I can't wait for you to play on my sandbox.
Okay.
And I do, since we were last on the air, I do have a new DVD out. It's just in the process of being released. I don't even know if they have it posted on the website or not.
Uh-huh.
But it's The Keys to Prosperity.
Ah.
And you can actually get the DVD, which is my live class on manifesting prosperity in all areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a workbook with it so you can follow along and do the assignments and actually take the actions to make it happen.
Right. Well, that's a good idea to have the workbook.
Yeah.
I think because that really kind of creates the experience where the person concentrates on what they want to manifest on a daily basis, which is really key to manifesting, is to actually give it some energy. I think that's wonderful, having a workbook. I love that.
Well, you know, one of the things is, I used to say when my book, Combing the Mirror and Other Steps in Your Spiritual Path, first hit the stands, and I was running around, I was doing all sorts of book signings that, you know, all the traditional Barnes & Nobles, Borders, all those places. And
sure.
I used to say that, you know, one of the secrets of doing the Combing the Mirror was that, you know, every chapter was 3 to 5 pages. I took spiritual concepts and made them very simple and gave you a homework assignment
mm-hmm.
at the end of each chapter so you could apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to call homework, it was, homework were 2 4-letter words. From that perspective, if you put those 2 4-letter words together, you could really make change in your life.
Sure.
But you'll probably be using some four-letter words along the way.
I have to say, one of the things that I loved in your the DVD on developing your psychic self was your sacred space. And I found that, you know, I actually worked with some mediums, took some classes. I have a very special friend that actually lives in Casadagua. And he taught me a lot about creating sacred spaces and about building up the energy of your meditation place and meditating in the same place at the same time. And, you know, I adored your altar. I kind of was jealous a little bit, but we do have another caller, so I'm going to take this caller. Who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Anita calling from Bangor, Maine.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question for Dr. Kevin?
Yes, I do. My question is that when you're starting to develop a little bit more Claudian, what is the best way to tell that from what you're getting just in your own thought stream and make sure that it is a psychic message?
Okay. So what I'm hearing Anita from Bangor ask is, when you're first starting to develop your own psychic abilities, how can you tell the difference between what is a psychic thought and what is just your thought?
Mm, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for asking that question, Anita, and that's a great question. One of the first things is to create a space, and I teach this in my psychic development classes about doing a protection and an intention statement, going into a sacred space, setting up times to do psychic exercises where you have set out that intention and you are looking for psychic information, and that's what's going to come because you have created that reality. And when you start to get that psychic information, and you practice, and you practice, and you practice. And that's one of the things about developing the psychic that I hammer at my classes, is you don't get good at anything that you don't have the discipline to do on a daily basis. Whether it's shoot a golf ball, shoot a basketball, play a piano, swim. If you want to have an Olympic gold medal in psychic abilities, you've got to practice every day, and it takes discipline. When you set aside time, and you say your protection and intention statement, you go into your sacred space, or you do some of the exercises that are going that I go over in the video, or it's in my Combing the Mirror book, or I actually have a really new exciting program coming out I'll tell Allison about after this question. One of the things is you start to know the difference between the voice because you've heard it enough, and you know the difference between that voice and your voice because you have trained yourself to do it. So when the voice starts to speak to you outside of sacred space or outside of your outflow writing exercise or outside of, you know, your meditation time that is set aside for gathering psychic information, you begin to recognize it, you know. And a lot of times people just want to, you know, they just want to jump to the end of the book and say, oh, well, you know, I want to do a couple of psychic exercises and meditate for a couple of days in a row and then suddenly walk around and spout psychic information like Edgar Cayce in a sleep trance. And it just doesn't work that way. Some people are more gifted, you know, and it comes easier at the beginning. But if you're willing to work at it and you stay with it and you do these exercises and you do these things, you will get there because we all have psychic abilities in this lifetime. Did I answer your question well enough, Anita?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Anita.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
All right. Dr. Kim, can I ask you a real quick question?
Absolutely. Ask me a long one. I don't care.
Oh, okay. I'll ask you a quick one. It's my show. I can, no.
You can do whatever you want, honey.
Okay.
It's your show.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, I practiced a lot of things and, you know, meditation and also developing my own abilities, which were pretty obvious from when I was a child. But, you know, one thing that I've been doing for quite a while now, which I'm a little bit perplexed about, is, you know, when you lay down and you go to, you're getting ready to go to sleep, but you're not asleep. You're literally conscious still. And you're just in that rested and relaxed place. And I literally have what starts as is absolute movies. I'm very much seeing all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, also hearing voices that are not my voice. There could be male voices, female voices. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and a great deal, and then part of my conscious mind as I'm observing is trying to determine, am I receiving a message here? I'm actually, I guess, doing a little bit of analysis, which is kind of like where the brain comes back in as opposed to the mind, and trying to decide, well, what is this all about and what does this mean? But literally, I can go do this for quite some time, and then eventually I get to that place where I drop off to sleep, okay? But I am very aware of that time where I am not asleep. I'm conscious, but I'm watching this whole shenanigans going on. What is that?
Okay. Well, part of it is you've had natural gifts since your childhood that you've been aware of. You've worked out of them. You've developed them. And now what's happening is you're jumping up to a new level. You're being able to access more information that your brain now lets through and lets you register.
Mm-hmm.
Where before your brain would just make it white noise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you've had the experience, or you've had other people talk about the experience, like they think that a place is haunted or something, and they'll catch something out of the corner of their eye, but they never focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because their brain is creating white noise. It says it can't be. It says
mm-hmm.
it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You finally got your brain to accept that this stuff can exist, and so it's allowing you, when you're really relaxed, to see more of it.
Mm-hmm.
To experience more of it. Does that part make sense?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So what's happening is, as you're going through the day, your brain is still making sure that you're going through the day. And you're doing all of the things that your brain needs to do for that day to work. But when you relax at night and your brain says, okay, now it could be just that things are visiting you at that time, you know, people from the other side, it could be ghosts, but ghosts is something different. As you know, I have a DVD out on ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could just be people that are trying to tap you, or you might be getting some psychic visioning, some precog, or you might be getting some past life stuff. But your brain is comfortable enough that it relaxes the gate. And when you're really relaxed, it can flood through.
Right.
Now, my warning to you, however,
sure,
is do what I do, which is every night before I go to bed, I say my protection and intention statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I pretty much do that. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that's before I ever get to that place. But it's just, to me, it's fascinating because I'm almost like a little observer. I'm like watching these
yeah.
videos. They've just like, and it's interesting because they switch, and I'm hearing these voices, and I'm like, this is fascinating. And then I go off to sleep. I remember doing it in the morning. Of course, I don't remember anything that I saw. I mean, some of it I do, but most of it I don't. It's just really, really interesting. But listen, you know what? I cannot believe, because we really have, like, blazed through this 55 minutes together, and I don't even think we got started on half the stuff that we wanted to talk about. But I wanted to just really, you've got some things upcoming. I see that you're going to be in Connecticut on the 25th and 26th for the Mind Body Health Expo.
I think it's called the Four Seasons Expo.
Okay.
I don't have it actually in front of me.
Okay.
But if you go to
my word for it.
If you go to my website, it's all listed, and I'm speaking on Are You Psychic, and I'm speaking on the Wei Chi Tibetan Reiki.
Sure. You're doing readings, right?
Yep, and I'm going to be doing sessions at that expo as well. And of
Wonderful.
Course, we'll have all of my products, including the new Prosperity, the Keys to Prosperity.
Mm-hmm. What was this other DVD you said you're working on?
one is the next DVD that is going to be getting released is my dream interpretation DVD.
Ooh.
Which I suspect that after you watch, you will probably do another show on, but maybe not.
Oh. You have no idea how many people write me. Say, what does it mean? I'm like, you got me hopping. I don't know.
So that's one thing. But the other thing is that putting it all, in fact, I'm as you know, before the show started, I leave for Hawaii in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there for a dozen days. Part of what I'm doing there is I'm doing some shooting, doing some filming.
Wonderful.
And I am releasing a new program as soon as it's ready. It's probably not going to come out to May, but because of some of the things you said, I wanted to mention it, which is a daily spiritual practices.
Oh.
And when you go to my website, I'm going to have 20 or 25 different exercises I give my clients that I have videotaped how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can click on it. I have a message for the week, and every Monday there'll be a theme, and I'll give 2 to 3 homework assignments every day to follow that through for the week.
Wow.
If when I say the homework exercise, you don't know what to do, you can go over and see my little 3 to 5 minute video explaining what it is. And I have shot some of these. I shot some of the videos in Phoenix. I shot some of them in Mallorca. I was in Mallorca, Spain last week.
Mm-hmm.
I shot some of them there. I'm shooting some of them in Hawaii.
Can I be your cameraman? No? Okay.
And
well, your website is a wealth of information, Dr. Kylan, and there's some wonderful things on there, including things that teach. And so if anybody's out there that is working on developing their psychic ability, certainly Dr. Kevin has got some really good advice, some really good pointers, and certainly he's the guy to ask the question. So again, I remind everybody, www.weboflight.com. Dr. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the show, but we've run out of time.
It always, you know, it always goes so fast when it's you and I together, Allison.
Oh, well, it was a pleasure having you again. And by all means, you know, hey, my house is your house. So you come back again when you've got some of this other stuff going on and be happy to do a show about it. But in the meantime, I got to say, good night, Dr. Kevin, and good night, everybody. I'm wishing you all abundant blessings.
Namaste.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.